Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the weekly gospel service here in Leven. Back home in Perth, where I come from, we have a similar service, but we have that much earlier in the day at 12:30. The same message that you're going to hear tonight, taken from our Bibles, has been presented to men for some 2,000 years. And you might be wondering why. Well, the very first hymn that John gave out this evening said this, "Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same." You may be thinking that the Bible is out of date, that the Bible is irrelevant for modern living, that it's just a collection of historical events or fairy tales. You know, you might be right that the world has changed from when the Bible was written. You may be right that man in many ways is different from the men of the first century. But you know, the Bible is still relevant and is still applicable for the God who wrote the Bible. And the Bible claims for itself to be the Word of God. And God's principles, and God's standards, and God's message for men and women and young people too, has never, ever, ever changed and never, ever will. The world may appear to move on. Men may appear to become more sophisticated. But the principles and standards of God, the demands that he has made, the invitation that he has given in the message of the gospel, has never, ever changed. And so we make no apology for opening the Bible tonight and basing our remarks on the Bible, the words of the living God. We're going to look with you tonight at one verse in particular, written probably 700 years BC. It was a message from one of the great Old Testament prophets, one of the men that God would send to his people Israel to declare his word. It was a man called Isaiah. And we're going to look at the book of Isaiah and chapter 43. If you have a Bible with you, feel free to open it and follow the reading with me. If not, I will try and read clearly so that you can follow what the prophet was writing. Perhaps 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, God spoke to his people Israel. And yet today, 2,700 years later, the message that God has for you and me tonight in Scotland in 2012 has never, ever changed. And the message that was so applicable and relevant to Israel 700 years BC is the same message that God has for each one of us tonight. Let's read just a few verses together, then starting at the beginning of Isaiah and chapter 43. And the prophet writes this: "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Two chapters further on, chapter 45, and this time we're going to break into the prophet's writing right at the end of verse 3. Isaiah chapter 45, and down at the end of verse 3 it says, concerning the Lord, which called thee by thy name, and the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And then finally down at the end of verse 21, and again we read, I, the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. We're going to think in particular tonight on the very first verse we read together. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We're going to think of what God says. He speaks to the men of Israel 700 years BC. He speaks to men and women and young people in Scotland tonight and says, I created thee. He says, I formed thee. He says, I redeemed thee. He says, I have called thee. Created, formed, redeemed, and called by the living God of heaven. And that message has not changed from the day it was penned by Isaiah until today, and never will. But before we look briefly at those four things, notice how the verse begins, and we have stressed this already. But now, thus saith the Lord. The message of the gospel, the message of the Bible, the message that is presented to men and women today, is a message from the Lord, the God of heaven. The Hebrew writer called this message so great salvation. And he adds this, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. That is, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus, before he returned to heaven, he died upon a cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and after 40 days return into heaven, but before he returned into heaven, he gave this commission to his disciples. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It was the message that was first spoken by the Lord. But ere he returned to heaven, he gave instruction to the disciples. Go and preach the gospel. And the Lord Jesus continued, for he told us the outcome of preaching the gospel. He told us the effect it would have on individuals who heard the message preached. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And that is still true. And that is still vitally important for every man, woman, boy and girl today. As they hear the preaching of the gospel, he that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There is no buts, there is no maybes, there is no perhaps, there is no if you do this. The message of the gospel comes with this challenge. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be saved. Damned. And so our verse begins, but now, thus saith the Lord. So what did the Lord say in the days of Isaiah the prophet? As we've said, about 700 years BC. And what is the Lord saying to us today? You see, as we've said, the word of the Lord is everlasting. The Lord Jesus himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So God's message to Israel 700 years BC, we can take for ourselves tonight. And God said this to Israel, I created thee, I formed thee, I redeemed thee, and I called thee. Firstly then, the Lord Jesus, our God, said to Israel, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. The Lord who is speaking, the God of the Bible, is the Lord that created thee. The one who is speaking, who has a message for you today, is the God of creation. The Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we come into our New Testament, John's Gospel begins like this in verse 3. All things were made by him. Talking about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The physical universe, everything that came into being not by a series of chances over millions of years, but as the psalmist said, God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. If you read through Genesis in chapter 1, we have the record of creation. And as you read down through Genesis chapter 1, over and over and over again, you read that God spake, and it was done. You read, and God said, and it was so. Out of nothing, the power of God by the spoken word created everything that we see today. You might be thinking, how can that be? You might be thinking, how can I be expected to believe that? How can I believe in a God that I have never seen? You might be thinking, where is the evidence of a God of creation? The Bible would say, open your eyes. This morning in Perth, or this afternoon, the preacher that we had was on a similar subject, and he said this. He had the example of electricity. He had been high up in Scottish and Southern electricity. And he said, no one has ever seen electricity. And yet the evidence of electricity is all around us. And no one would doubt that electricity exists. So with creation. Open your eyes. Observe the handiwork, the beauty, the order that is seen in creation. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The Apostle Paul, writing to Christian friends in the great city of Rome, said this, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And the apostle continues, so that men are without excuse. Where is the evidence for God? Where is the evidence for creation? Open your eyes. On day 6 of creation, we read, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so the message from the Bible tonight, the message for you and for me, is from the Lord that created thee. What is our response to this? The psalmist said, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. But you know, it gets even more wonderful than that. To think that we have been created by God. For the prophet goes on to say, recording the words of the Lord that was speaking, he that formed thee. You see, man is different from the animals, different from the birds, different from the fish, for he is created in the image of God. Man was formed by God. We read in the Genesis record, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man was special. Man was different in God's creation. Again, we read in Genesis, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Man was formed for a purpose and for a reason. Man was special in God's creation, formed to tend, to keep, to rule over God's creation. But more than this, man was formed to have communion, to have fellowship with God. He was formed with a spirit that lives forever and ever, a spirit that can respond to, a spirit that can communicate with God, different from the animals, different from any other creature God created. Man is formed with a spirit that lives forever. And man is formed with the ability to respond to God. That is why, wherever you go in the world, however far back you go in history, man has always looked to something out with himself, has always worshipped gods of some description or other, because within the heart of man, there is a spirit that responds to and recognizes and was made to communicate with God. And God today has this desire to communicate with you and with me, to have fellowship with you and to me. We read it in Isaiah chapter 43, and I think it's verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, and I have loved thee. Amazing, is it not? The God of creation, and yet he says to man whom he hath created, I have loved thee. But something went wrong. Man was created and formed to have communion, fellowship with the God of creation. But we haven't come very far in our Bibles before we come across this verse. And they, that is Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Communion was broken. Adam was afraid of the God of creation, the God with whom he had been made to have fellowship and communion with. You see, sin had entered. Man was also made with a free will. God did not create you and I as robots that would, without question, do as God said. He created man with the ability to choose. And within a very short time, man had made the decision to disobey God. And God had only given one prohibition. Within that garden of Eden, he had said of one tree, thou shalt not eat of it. The one test that would prove that man was following God out of love. But man rebelled. And man disobeyed. And sin came into the garden. Communion was broken. And sin has consequences. Sin will be judged. Sin cannot be overlooked. Sin cannot be tolerated by God. And because Adam sinned, each and every one of us without exception are sinners. You see, when Adam sinned, that sinful nature became part of Adam and he passed it on to his family. And down through the generations, that sinful nature has passed. And so each and every one of us, born with that sinful nature, that tendency to rebel, that tendency to do what is wrong. The psalmist said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's obvious, is it not? You watch a little child. Who teaches it to say no? Who teaches it to tell a lie? Who teaches it to do what it has been told not to do? It is obvious. Within every little child there is that sinful nature, that bias towards rebellion and disobedience against God. And sin will be punished. Is there any hope? A pretty sad message if that's where it is, that man is guilty in the sight of the God who created us. And guilt and sin results in punishment. But there is good news. For their verse goes on to say, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. The God who created, the God who formed us. It gets even more wonderful. For I have redeemed thee. What is meant by redeemed? Well, if you were to look up an English dictionary, you would find the definition given something like this: to recover possession or ownership of by payment of a price or service. To recover by payment of a price. Freedom by payment of a price. Think of the slave market from days gone by. Stephen mentioned John Newton, who was involved in the slave trade, and he would know all about this. Slaves in the slave market were on offer for an agreed price. If you wish to purchase that slave, if you wish to set that slave free, the price had to be paid to the slave master. And that price was known as the ransom price. And if that slave was purchased and set free, it was known as redemption. The slave was redeemed. In modern days, you sometimes hear of someone who has been kidnapped, and a ransom price is demanded to set the captive free. And that is what God has done for us. The price of our redemption was high, for we were held captive by sin. We were bound by sin, unable to release ourselves, unable to pay the price that would set us free. But God, who created and formed us, although we had rebelled against him, although within our lives there was sin that a holy God could not tolerate, he paid the price of our redemption. And that price was so high, for it required the sacrifice of his only beloved Son on the cross. You see, sin separates us from God. Sin in our lives demands judgment. Sin ensnares and holds us captive. But God paid the price that set us free. The Hebrew writer said, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. But we have read tonight, 'But thus saith the Lord, fear not, for I have redeemed thee.'" The price has been paid that sets us free from sin, releases us from judgment to come. Although we have rebelled, God says, "I have loved thee." And God paid the price. It cost him his only well-beloved Son, who came into the world and went all the way to Calvary's cross. And there on the cross, the penalty, the price demanded for sin was paid in full. And God poured out upon his own Son the judgment, the punishment that was due for sin. He paid the price for our redemption, and now we can be free. That is why the message of the cross, the story that Jesus died for our sins, is the center of the gospel message. For it is the ransom price that sets us free. To finish off, the God who created thee and the God who formed thee is the God who hath redeemed thee. And then he says, "I have called thee by thy name." The redemption price has been paid. Paul, again writing to Christians at Ephesus, speaking of the Lord Jesus, says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." But you see, God will not force you to leave that slave market. God will not force you to leave the bondage of sin and follow him. God offers to you as a free gift redemption, salvation. The price has been paid in full. But the choice is yours. Whether to accept or reject. God offers redemption, salvation, forgiveness of sins. God loves you. God, who created and formed you, knows and cares for you as an individual. He is calling you by name. Will you respond? As the God of heaven calls you as an individual, calls you by your name. He says, "The Lord Jesus, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." He stands at the door. He knocks, but he will never force his way into your life. He gives the invitation. Come, I will give you rest. I stand at the door and knock. I will come in unto him. The God who created thee, the God who formed thee, the God who redeemed thee is now calling thee by name. Will you respond and come, confessing sin, trusting in the Lord Jesus to save? Just as we finish, the call is today. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. The invitation comes to you tonight. Paul again would tell us, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Remember, to refuse the call, to reject the offer of redemption, means that you continue bound by sin. And at the end of life's journey, to face judgment for your sin, judgment forever and ever and ever. The Hebrew writer says it like this: "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" We read over and over again in the little reading from Isaiah, "I am God and there is none else." There is no other way to heaven, no other way to know the peace of sins forgiven. And the last verse that we read from Isaiah 45 said this: "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And so remember the verse, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." The response is yours. The decision what to do is yours. Will you come and accept the invitation? Now our service is over. Thank you for taking the time to come along this evening. Thank you for listening. And we will just close our service in prayer, and then our time together is over. Shall we pray? Our Father, how we thank thee for this privilege of bowing our head and coming into thy presence, knowing that as we speak on earth, so in heaven, our voice is heard. We thank thee, our God, that thou hast an interest and a care for this little gathering in Leven tonight. We thank thee that thou hast an interest and a care in each and every one of us as individuals. We thank thee for the wonderful message of the gospel. We thank thee, our God, that it never changes. And we thank thee that it is centered on the person of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that Christ died for our sins. And we thank thee that redemption is ours. Salvation can be ours because of the price paid. We do now ask thy blessing on us as we part. We pray a blessing on each and every one, and pray, our God, that the truth of thy word may be a challenge to our hearts. And we pray, our God, that all may hear the call of God and turn to him tonight. And so we commend ourselves to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.